The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A mixed emotion Thursday happy hour. Got to get happier, man. It's a happier happy hour.
How can you have mixed emotions if it's happy hour, man? Why do you have mixed emotions?
Well, a number of reasons, Dom. I've gone through them a couple of times, but I'll repeat them for your sake. A, our pal Chris Taylor is not running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. That is a big depressor for me. That's an oh no. B, Chucky Hepburn, the point guard on my basketball team, the Badger team, has entered the transfer portal. That's a lot of our nucleus, man. So my basketball team's going to suck next year. That's got me a little, you know, buzz-harshed. And above and beyond that, we've got some good news, Don. We got the announcement, and we will have a fine guest on tomorrow's show in the 5 o'clock hour, Peter Barca, former congressman, former assembly minority leader, most recently, the Department of Revenue Secretary in the state of Wisconsin has made the announcement he is running in the first CD, so that's an oh yeah.
Oh, that's the Brian Stiles seat right now.
Yes, and that one is a competitive seat, perhaps the most competitive congressional seat currently held by a Republican, although I got to thank Derek Van Orden and his antics continue to mount against him, but we don't know who it's going to be. And obviously, Barca is not the only candidate, but I think his gravitas sets him above the others that have entered the race in the first so far. Lorenzo Santos and Diane Anderson. And we have had those other candidates on this show. They will come back before the primary, but this is probably Barca's race to lose at this point. I mean, he served in Congress before.
Yeah.
So that one's got me, oh, yeah. I'm excited about that. And your boy
up and down, man, up and down, Crudy.
And your boy Ram Jam jumping in the race. And then Derek Van Orden calling Matt Gaetz tubby. And then it made me look in the mirror and I'm thinking I look a little tubby, but I am wearing a swell Devil's Advocates black shirt and it is slimming, Dom.
It is slimming.
I would encourage you to get one of your own, as would my 17-year-old at devilradioswag.com. This segment brought to you by Crudy's Tubbiness and slimming black Devil Radio t-shirts.
I would never call you a squish though, Crudy.
devilradioswag.com. no, because that's more appropriate for you. You're kind of squishy.
Oh, come on. It
puffy
out all the time, man.
Muffin
depends on
toppy.
The day. Depends and, on the day.
And here's some more good news, Dom.
Yes,
we have impaneled a jury in the Donald Trump voter deception hush money New York trial. We've got 12 plus one. We've got one alternate juror, and it looks like we might be on track for opening arguments on Monday. And
yeah.
I also perceive this is good news, Dom. The prosecution will not enlighten the Trump defense team who's on their witness list, not on day one. And they said, in light of the fact that you continue to break the gag order and you continue to expose people and target these people, we're not telling you who we're putting on the witness list. So the Trump team cannot prepare. And my understanding, Dom, from the reporting I found, the judge is just fine with that.
Yep.
New York judge Juan Merchan said he would not order prosecutors to disclose a witness list to the defense in light of former President Donald Trump's attacks on figures connected to his hush money case. Yeah, like his daughter, maybe the judge's daughter, right? Like, hey, there might be a little bad blood at this point. Anyways, at the conclusion of the third day of jury selection in Trump's first criminal trial, just his first, there'll be more.
Just wait, there's more.
Defense attorney Todd Blanche asked the prosecution which witness would be called first. Assistant District Attorney Joshua Steinglass noted that Trump made social media posts about several potential witnesses, which prosecutors say violated the judge's gag order. Oh, yeah, there's that. Tyler McBrien of Lawfare tweeted what Blanche said. Blanche, again, is Trump's attorney. What if I commit to the court that President Trump will not post truth posts about witnesses? I don't think you can make that representation, the judge said. I don't think you can control your client as effectively, what the judge said.
You cannot. No, you cannot.
We are not telling him who the witnesses are. Again, the prosecutor Steinglass said, according to reports, I can't fault them for that, said the judge. I can't fault them for not sharing their witness list. As of Thursday, that's today, Dom, 12 jurors, one alternate, has been selected for the trial, and they're going to resume jury selection, voir dire, if you will, Dom, on Friday. I'm sure I'm saying that right, voir dire. You listening, Jeff? You'll correct me if I'm wrong. I feel quite confident.
This is very interesting. So if we have good speed, good luck. We'll
get the rest
of the alternate jurors tomorrow. We could potentially have opening statements on Monday. And because of the former president's antics, his threatening, his violation of his gag order, the judge isn't going to order the prosecution to turn over who's specifically starting out their first witness. Now, my understanding, they know who the witnesses are. They just don't know what order they're coming in. It's kind of way I'm reading this.
Maybe they do. Maybe also, they don't. I'm not telling you.
Right. Also, on Monday is bond hearing. Let's not forget about that. The $175 million quote unquote bond that was issued that Trump, didn't have to come up with the money, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that whole thing's been kind of sketchy. What was it? Cayman Islands or Bahama money, something like along those lines. So Tish James, the AG from
New York. Come on, the Cayman Islands is the best place to park your dark money. Tax free.
She's not having it. So they're going to delve into that on Monday. Trump's trial, actual testimony could begin on Monday.
And some other disappointing news for the defense team. Apparently, Dom, they had asked for Tuesday off, being the Passover holiday. And the judge apparently said, well, unfortunately, it's not a court holiday. So the Jewish member of the defense team, they can go celebrate, but the rest of you, including Trump, can show up for court.
My son-in-law is Jewish. Forget it. Come on, can I? Please, judge.
We've already touched on the fact that, he did ask to attend Barron's graduation, and I might have been wrong in that. There is reportedly on Twitter a classmate that said Trump did attend at least the one Eric Trump's high school graduation. I'm skeptical, but when I see the picture, I'll owe $5.
That's what I'm saying, man. You got to see the proof.
What else we got, Dom?
The Aaron Blake piece. Trump's a little out of control here, man. For real. And the hearing.
Oh, it's your first tip off.
Gag order, violation of the gag order will be on Tuesday. So once again, Trump trial potentially starting Monday. I mean, the actual testimony, actual guts of it, the actual witness is coming forward. Could happen on Monday. Also, Tish James on Monday reviewing with the judge there the quote-unquote bond that Trump has been supplied. On Tuesday, now we're going to get to the point of this, the violations of this gag order, which apparently Trump has potentially violated up to 7 times so far. Aaron Blake at the Washington Post writes this, Trump's increasingly charged criminal trial. I mean, who would have thought that this would get kind of hairy? Welcome to the campaign moment. Your guide to the biggest developments in the 2024 election could be decided in a courtroom. Former president of the United States is on criminal trial for the first time in American history. Been a long time coming. And while the early proceedings in Trump's Manhattan hush money election interference case have been somewhat sleepy, quite literally if you're Trump. The stage is being set for one of the most consequential legal clashes in American political history. As a quick reminder, the case has to do with the hush money payments Trump's lawyer made to adult film actress to keep her quiet in the weeks ahead of the 2016 election, whether he falsified business records to cover it up. Trump's antics threaten to boil over. The verdict is obviously important for reasons we'll get to, but how we get there could also reverberate greatly. The trial is quickly shaping up to be the culmination of Trump's years-long assault on a justice system that has long scrutinized him. And there's increasing reason to believe the situation could get ugly. And I would say perhaps uglier. A couple of bullet points from Aaron Blake at the Washington Post. Trump's courtroom antics are increasing, including what the judge interpreted Tuesday as a possible attempt to intimidate a jury. Quote, he was audibly gesturing, speaking in the direction of the juror, New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan said, I won't tolerate that. Trump has repeatedly flouted gag orders, barring him from attacking the judge's daughter and witnesses, resulting in a judge setting a hearing on the subject next week. Trump said it would be his great honor to go to jail for violating the gag order. That would be a great
honor.
Let's honor the man. Even after the scene with the juror on Tuesday, Trump on Wednesday promoted the remarks of Fox News host Jesse Waters, who accused prospective jurors of being undercover liberal activists. Trump is barred from making public comments about jurors and prospective jurors. Prosecutors included the post in claiming 7 more gag order violations Thursday morning. And Aaron Blake writes, while we are already seeing how all this could matter, a juror whose biographical details were aired by media outlets and scrutinized by Waters raised concern Thursday, citing how people were able to identify her. The play here is obvious. Trump wants to make clear that he will make life hard for anybody who might help deliver an adverse verdict. And Trump will push limits in ways that leaves the judge in the case with some very difficult decisions. Imagine a situation in which the judge feels compelled to actually jail Trump.
Oh, that sends a little bit of a tingle up my leg, Dom.
Trump's actions probably wouldn't be tolerated by basically any other defendant. I think this is going to be necessary, and we'll see what kind of activity Donald Trump engages in between now and Tuesday. But I guarantee you, I'll take that action. That $5, Scrutiny, is going to violate that gag order again.
Dom, better to burn out than fade away. Yeah. We are the devil's advocates. Lock him up. Lock him up. That's what Dom wants to bet. Take his action. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines. Rich will screen you shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the headline at the Fox News Digital at this moment. I want to make sure I get this accurate. Meet the jurors who will hear Bragg's case about the 2024 presidential candidate. We have our jury. We told you that. But the fact that they would headline this, almost like they've got insights on who the jurors might be, Dom. 12 jurors have been selected and sworn in to serve on the jury for former President Trump's historic and unprecedented first criminal trial. Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee, blah, 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 you know about that, has been charged by District Attorney Alvin Bragg with 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. It's like love in the first degree, Dom. The charges are related to, I call it, voter deception. But they call it hush money payments to an adult film actress, Stormy Daniels. That's, you know, how they always like to describe it. Wouldn't we all pay off the porn star to keep our wife happy, Dom? Or some of us would not have had the affair with the porn star, but, you know, setting that aside. Trump was, has pled not guilty to all counts. He has blasted the trial as pure politics and a political persecution and maintains his innocence. You know, Fox wants to make sure they get that on the record, buddy. The former president is expected to testify during his trial. No, no. You're lying to your audience, Fox News Digital. The former president is lying to you, and you're repeating the lie to your audience. There is no way in hell Trump is going to testify, nor is that expected.
Well, but the defendant did say he would testify, and they reported what the defendant said.
Let me ask you, Dom, did they source Trump as saying that, or did they state it matter-of-factly? Because that's the answer. They stated it in their article as if it was fact. Everyone expects Trump to testify. They didn't say because Trump lies and says he's going to testify. But well, when's the last time?
I mean, Fox News lies. That's why I don't read that page.
Well, that's why I was pointing out the lie in real time. Anyways, let me read on. More lies to get out there, Dom. By the end of jury selection on Thursday, the third day, 12 jurors had been selected and sworn in. And the jury pool so far includes 4 men and 3 women, all living in New York City. Their professions included, and it was my understanding, Dom, they didn't want their professions included any longer, right? That was correct. The request of the judge.
As of today, yes.
Their professions included work in law, finance, technology, and more. See, they've sort of broadened out the parameters.
And more.
And more. We have our jury, Judge Juan Merchant said, when the 12th juror was picked Thursday afternoon. Let's pick our alternatives. Merchant dismissed the remaining prospective jurors and asked they return to court Friday so the alternative jurors could be selected. And then they go through. Juror number one and the foreperson. Juror one lives in New York City, but is originally from Ireland, has no children, enjoys doing anything outdoorsy. He gets his news from the New York Times, Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC, and here's a map to his house.
What is the dating game?
It really is kind of breezy, isn't it? Like you've written this descriptor almost like it's a dating app. Juror number two is a man who said he follows Trump, former lawyer Michael Cohen on Twitter. Uh-oh. And other right-wing accounts, including former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway. The reason he said he follows these figures was so he could be plugged into anything they might move the markets I might need to know about. So I think they're implying this guy works on Wall Street, right? Like, we know which one you are, juror number two. This seemingly goes directly, and there's more, Dom.
The fact
they
that
also
we're
quote
even
the juror.
Reading this? Are we doing bad things by even getting into it?
The man also said he has not seen any evidence relating to the case. I will try to keep an open mind. They're even quoting the individual jurors here at the coverage on the Fox News Digital. Well, Dom, this seems to directly contradict the ask of the judge, right? I mean, he can't bind Fox News Digital, but effectively they're going through with as much identifying detail as they can possibly find about the prospective jurors. They're even giving quotes. Here's what else they say about juror two. Responding to questions from Trump lawyer Susan Nescheles about his feelings about the former president, the man said that Trump had done some good for the country. It's ambivalent. It goes both ways. You know, make sure Trump knows which one said which. This seems, you know, like an extension of Jesse Waters' efforts earlier.
Oh, okay.
to try and identify a juror by a little too much personal information. And this seems in direct contrast to what Justice Merchan, because they call him Justice in New York, asked of the media outlets. But what would you expect other than top of the page, come meet the jurors on the Fox News Digital?
The Fox News dating game. The Trump jurors. Juror number one likes long walks in the park and keeping an eye on the market. Follows Donald Trump and Michael Cohen on the Twitters. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton, Wisconsin, you are up. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cindy.
Hello. Well, I wouldn't worry too much about Don Portaloni's threats because, first of all, the insurrectionists, I think, have probably learned their lesson. I don't think Rudy Giuliani is going to come to his rescue. And the
you
woman
think the, hang on, Cindy. Let me pause you right there. You think the insurrectionists have learned their lesson?
And that wasn't Rudy on a white horse. That was the four horses of the apocalypse. You might have confused them, Cindy.
What makes you think that, Cindy? I'm just curious.
What makes me think what? Because look at how many of them are going to prison for supposedly helping him, you know, overturn the election. I don't think any of them want to go to prison for this man. I think they've learned that you know, he was going to bail them out and help them get out of prison. Well, he hasn't done
anything. They're hostages, Rudy Cindy. Giuliani. He's playing. They're singing the national anthem at his rallies. I don't know. I mean, there might be a few that are, you know, have some regrets, but my sense is that they're owning it. They're wearing it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, I think talk is cheap. And as far as Rudy Giuliani goes, he was supposed to get bailed out by Trump. Trump was supposed to give him all this money. Where did that money go? And the woman who sued him for the defamation of character, I forget her name, Carol, whatever, she get like $80 million from him? What has he done to her? You would think if he had a vendetta against anybody, it'd be her. So he is just a big bag of wind. He's a bully and a coward. And when you push a bully back, he goes and puts his tail between his legs and runs away. I just think his threats are just idle BS.
I've always thought about
the call, Cindy. Certainly agree in some sense that Donald Trump's not going to be the one showing up at Paul Pelosi's house and hitting him in the head with a hammer. That won't be Trump. I'll give you that.
And Dom hardly ever runs away. That's because of his fashion statement with the flip-flops and all.
Yeah.
Tail between his legs, maybe.
No.
Running away? Leave now? You've never been accused of running away from anything, Dom. Or really running. Moving with alacrity. Not ever a charge leveled against you.
You gotta slow down sometimes, you know, and take it in, smell the roses and all that. You know, you can't be moving too fast. You know, life goes by pretty quick. If you don't slow down, I forget the Ferris Bueller, but you know what I'm saying.
Sadly, I do. That's why we get along, I think. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a mixed emotion Thursday edition. Happy hour, though. Feeling happier. Checking the text line. L.A. Tom's throwing her in from the leftist coast. Talking about the new Fox News show, Farmer Wants a Juror. Now, Dom, I did bring up the Foxy News current coverage on their digital page. Effectively, a little too much information, background information on these supposedly anonymous jurors, right? Who Donald Trump's already shown an inclination to try and threaten, both verbally in the courtroom, warned by the judge, Merchant, and also through the Truthy socials, right? Well, over at the Raw Story, Dom, and you know I love this source, juror number two in the Trump hush money trial was dismissed on Thursday after she raised concerns that her identity might have already been compromised. Washington Post reporter Aaron Blake, and you referenced him, Dom, immediately drew a line between her dismissal and a Tuesday night segment on the Foxy News where host Jesse Waters broadcast some personal and personal details about the jurors whose names are not being identified publicly. Wait for it. Fox News will get around to that.
Right, come time.
Here's the statement. Aaron Blake on Twitter. Fox News host Jesse Waters on Tuesday's broadcast extensive biographical details about juror number two, her neighborhood, occupation, education, marital and family status, in what industry her fiance works in. How is any of that relevant, Jesse Waters? A little bit more. He concluded by saying, I'm not so sure about juror number two. The juror that...
If I may interject here briefly, Crudy, not only did he say that, he also mentioned that, I'm not so sure about juror number two, after he quoted the juror saying, nobody is above the law. That was apparently too far for Jesse Waters, for a prospective juror to suggest, perhaps, that nobody is above the law. Then he said, I'm not so sure about juror number two.
This juror that Waters said he wasn't so sure about was the same one who was dismissed Thursday after expressing concerns about being identified. Yeah, I'd be a little concerned. Waters followed up his segment yesterday by declaring, without providing any evidence, that undercover liberal activists were lying about their feelings about former President Donald Trump to get on the jury and convict him, no matter the evidence. He's accusing people of lying to be impaneled on the jury.
Trump, now, is there, if I may, like, this is, again, Republicans and Fox News. Perhaps a little projection here. Is it out of the realm to think that if that were to happen, let's say Jesse Waters is right, there's a sneaky liberal out there. Do you think then there also might be a sneaky MAGA out there?
Well, we heard Clay Travis on Right Wing Talk Radio advocate for that very thing the other day. Lie, get impaneled on the jury, tell them you can be impartial, and then acquit no matter what.
Clay Travis, Righty Whitey Talk Radio.
Yes. And also, yes. I don't know if you know this, but he sold his website to the Fox News Digital, the Outkick. He's a wealthy man now. Clay Travis effectively is a fixture at Fox News. So Right Wing Talk Radio, just one of his financial enterprises, if you know what I'm saying. Sort of like Sean Hannity, Right Wing Talk Radio, Foxy News host. Just saying. There's more, Dom. Trump would subsequently promote these claims, right? He shared Jesse Waters' claims.
No, he didn't share. He somebody on the Truthy Social. It wasn't a repost. It wasn't a retweet or a retruthy, whatever you call it. Someone took the time to physically type in a new post of what Jesse Waters was claiming, making it even probably worse than it would have been if he just retweeted something.
Dominic, Trump would subsequently promote these claims on his Truth Social page, which would lead to immediate accusations of him violating the gag order that prevented him from talking about jurors in the trial. Now, we've talked about the fact, Dom, Trump has continuously pushed the limits when it comes to his gag order. And the prosecutors from the Manhattan DA's office on Thursday accused him of violating it, and you mentioned this, Dom, 7 separate times since the hearing started on Monday. That's this week. Right. I mean, if your cleanup hitter was getting this many hits in 4 days, they'd be a Hall of Famer. Anyways, that included direct attacks on witnesses in the case, including his former fixer, Michael Cohen. So far, however, to date, Dom, Justice Juan Merchan has not hit Trump with any punishments for the prospective gag order violations. Well, that day's coming, right? Although he did reprimand Trump for interacting with a prospective juror while in court on Tuesday. And as you've pointed out, Dom, the hearing concerning the gag order violations, well, that's scheduled for April 23rd. That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Yeah. Big Tuesday, Dom.
It's, I mean, big, a big Friday. They get the rest of the jury. A big Monday. They could start opening arguments and witness testimony. Letitia James reviewing the $175 million bond Tuesday, reviewing
some
violations. I mean, this is a Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. And the U.S. Supreme Court's in there somewhere, right? The 24th.
Oh, that's coming up next week, too. Is that next week? That's possible?
Next week, the oral arguments on whether or not he's got absolute presidential immunity, which seems ridiculous. But of course, they're going to litigate this before the U.S. Supreme Court. Trump won't be there, though. According to the judge, he'll be lucky if he gets to go to his own kid's graduation.
You know, if that's the case, if the president can do whatever they want, then why would anybody care if, and of course it's not being directed, these state charges are not being directed by the Biden administration because they're state charges. And I know folks don't really get how it all works, but that's not how it works. But if it were to be the case, and the president has absolute immunity, then pretty much Joe Biden could do whatever he wants and is justified to do whatever he wants at any time.
SEAL Team 6.
SEAL Team 6, go hit him up. They know where he's going to be tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? If that would be the case. Of course, it's asinine. And the fact that they would even entertain this and that Republicans and MAGAs would actually think, and it's hard to believe that they do. Because, of course, the logic is if that would be the case, then good luck. Because Biden's never leaving office.
Well, eventually he will, Dom. The actuarial tables tell us eventually he will leave office. Wondering if we're going to see some action up on the Capitol Hill. You know, we mentioned the Speaker Johnson. He's under assault. Yeah. And Derek Van Orden went after Tubby Matt Gaetz today. His accusation.
Squishy Van Orden went after Tubby Matt Gaetz. Is that how it went down?
Yes, that is how it's being reported. Apparently, they had a shout-off, bro, on the House floor earlier today, and some name-calling, you know.
You think Van Orden was drinking already today, or does the Irish coffee count?
Well, I was drinking. So, I am a Wisconsinite. If one of Van Orden's, you know, tangential constituents, because we play out in the third CD, you can hear us there. You know, so we have business dealings there, Dom, if not direct, you know, real estate holdings or whatever. Don't live there per se, but you know, it was going to the third CD on Monday. Vice President Kamala Harris. Vice President Harris.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I wonder if Van Orden will go to greet her as the congressman from the third CD. Do you think he'll beat the, will he come out to the airport pack and Dom like he often does?
That's the only way to fly.
Packing. You know, he's also an air marshal in his own mind. Anyways, Dom, so Derek Van Orden is having a little shout off. And part of the reason why is because he's defending Mike Johnson, right?
Yes.
And apparently Derek Van Orden very interested in the foreign aid, at least as it's related to the Israel, because he took his little field trip over there. You know, when they were selecting Mike Johnson to be the Speaker of the House, he was on a one-man cavalcade to the Middle East.
Oh, that's right. Was he doing his own investigative work?
He was.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, as a former Navy SEAL, that qualifies him to do damn near anything.
Well, I mean, he's no radio host, but he's pretty close.
Well, that was the week that I was out there, because I was there when the Speaker of the House was chosen, when Mike Johnson was chosen. And as mentioned before, my wife was out there advocating for caregivers and had a meeting with Van Orden's staff. And you asked me before, was Derek Van Orden drinking today? Well, probably.
He's from Wisconsin. Doesn't he love the stereotype?
Well, he does. He embraces it. And he did offer Mrs. Crudy, or at least his staff did, a drink at 9:30 Central Time. A beer, cold. Coors product.
I drink beer when I'm not drinking, so it's totally apropos for the congressman from La Crosse or Wisconsin to offer, you know, some victuals for his guests.
Well, you can't drink all day unless you start in the morning, right, Dom?
That's what they say.
So, anyways, this has been my experience with Derek Van Orden. Although I've never met the man, I did tell you about my drunken impromptu meeting with one of his big donors up from Coral Gables.
He said he looked like him. He was like a doppelganger.
He very much did. And he was wearing his fake congressional lapel pin, this Derek Van Orden donor. And how do I know it was a Derek Van Orden donor? Well, you know, I was at a bar and I was acknowledging him and his wife in some small way. She was lovely in her painted silk gown. And he was lovely in his custom tailored suit. You know, they were a well-to-do couple. You could tell they were flaunting it. And they were at the bar, and I was talking to a couple, and they came and jousted their way into this conversation. Apparently, they knew the couple. I had only made new acquaintance of this couple, so I let it happen. And at some point, I interacted with this guy. And this guy, actually, I had complimented his wife's dress to her. And she was, you know, wearing a very expensive dress. And I said, you know, my daughter's in the fashion industry. She would greatly appreciate that dress. She would look as lovely as you in it. And anyways, this guy said, well, what about my suit? So I had to check him out. I have an appreciation for, you know, finer fabrics and things of that nature. I don't know if you know
this. Well, you do have an awesome Devil's Advocates radio shirt on right now.
I'm wearing it right now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not custom fitted, but it could be, because I wear anything like it's custom, Dom. Even off the rack. But this guy was wearing custom. You could see the hand stitching. And then I looked on his left lapel, and he was wearing this button. And if you've ever been to the Hill, and I had been to the Hill before. The actual electeds get to wear the buttons, and it's representative of their elected office. They're a congressman, a senator, you know, maybe a committee chairperson. They get the, you know, it's like wearing your bling on your TGI Fridays uniform. It's what they do. That's part of the gig. So I'm looking at this guy, and I could tell he wanted to be a congressman. He was the spitting image, I swear to God, because I've never met Derek Van Orden, but he looked just like I imagined, and I've seen photos of what I thought this guy would look like. So I'm like, well, you got a nice suit on, and, you know, as near as I can tell, you are the spitting image of Derek Van Orden. He goes, oh, you know Derek Van Orden too?
Does he wear all the flair as well?
Well, apparently Derek Van Orden had been over drinking at the man's house the night prior.
Of course he was.
They had pictures together. And I'm not sure if
he showed you the picture, he pulled out.
Oh, yeah. Don't they all, Dom?
Big fan.
Like Sid Miller on the airplane. He was the Texas Ag Secretary. And lo and behold, Dom, I always find myself in the best of company. They're at this
rich... It's not just me, man.
Well, so anyways, as the story ends, for those unfamiliar, because I've had a few stories in my day, the story at the Pfister, and Mrs. Crudy was sitting at a distance because apparently I'd gotten quite loud with the man. No. I was sort of saying I found this congressman he was so in love with. Well, he was certainly enamored with the man, giving him a big check, big donation the night before, one could be assured. Well, I said, well, I find him to be something of a coward. I said, well, he won't debate his opponent. And, you know, he's not from the district. And, you know, wasn't he a Navy SEAL? I think they would have taught him not to take a loaded handgun on a freaking airplane. I said, this is the sort of guy you had in your house last night? I said, were you worried about your wife? Loose firearms and that kind of stuff? And then this man who was at what is now a crowded Pfister bar in the lobby because the Royals were in town, big ball game night, and he just kind of turned his back to me like, I'm out of here. But he was still standing like 6 inches away. More Devils.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now at 844-967-2789.
Dom, interesting story I find. Rumors are circulating on Capitol Hill that the Freedom Caucus is preparing to launch a FART war. Let me read on. The far-right House Republican group Thursday appeared to be plotting a defensive tactic against moderate counterparts, and they've assembled to assist them in this effort. A floor action response team, Dom. F-A-R-T.
They do love their acronyms in Congress, don't they?
Here's what's being said. House Freedom Caucus members are signing up to take shifts to guard the House floor in order to prevent resolutions, you know, they'd consider unsavory, from slipping through that could curb their power. The Floor Action Response Team, acronymed FART, Dom, aims to guard against the voice vote or unanimous consent vote, while action could be stealthily taken against them and their members. Now, the reporter received word from anonymous sources such as Punchbowl News' Micah Solder, Freedom Caucus members plotting defensive tactic to man the House floor to avoid any meddling by moderates. Solder reported the caucus has concerns that Rep. Thomas Massie, not the caucus member but a staunch conservative, and Chip Roy, the caucus policy chair, could find themselves knocked from the powerful House Rules Committee by moderates. Both Beavers and Solder reported, technically would be possible to file unanimous consent on that. One member told me if moderates try and kick off those members, it would be an act of war, I tell you, Dom.
The Republican Party is in disarray.
Now, tempers are running high in the Rules Committee Thursday as lawmakers fumed over delays in funding aid to war-beleaguered Ukraine in a hearing on three foreign aid packages. And Rep. Rosa DeLauro, a Democrat from Connecticut, was jumping out of her seat to condemn far-right Republicans who complained about border security after killing an immigration bill. For months and months, we've been diddling around, DeLauro shouted. It's that if that's the way we want to be remembered in history, it's certainly not the way I want to be remembered. Now, Dom, this was the least active Congress since the 1920s. They didn't get a lot done.
Oh, no, they did a lot of, positioning and strategy.
Dom, the unfortunate acronym, the FART team, was not lost upon social media users who reacted. I'm sure the FART's floor so action response team will not be silent, but deadly. Someone else noted on the Twitter, Dom, I knew something stunk with that House Freedom Caucus.
Terrible.
That's all I've got.
I mean, it's just a crap show over there. I mean, literally, they're doing this action against their own party. You know what I mean?
Well, the moderates, the squishes, Dom.
Yeah, the squish. They're all squish tubbies.
Can you imagine signing up for the FART team? I want to be part of that fast action response team. Do I get a sign, a badge, FART?
You get a little pin, the FART pin.
I don't like these scatological humor, Dom. I don't believe it's the place on the radio. But when the Republican House Freedom Caucus names themselves that, it's hard not to go there.
I mean, come on. You can't open the door and not want us to walk through it. A little more on this topic. This Congress, The Hill reporting, Speaker Mike Johnson announced Thursday that he will not seek to raise the bar for removing a speaker from power as part of the current debate over the Ukraine aid, a prospect that had sparked an outcry from conservatives earlier in the day.
That FART team was on it, Tom. They were
on. Any single member of the House right now, as it stands, can compel a vote on a motion to vacate, but a number of moderate Republicans, the anti-FART Republicans, have pressed Johnson to use the yet-to-be-passed rule governing the foreign aid legislation to raise the threshold. Sounds like log rolling, Crudy. Johnson, who's under fire from conservatives over his leadership style and deal cutting with the Democrats, some call that governance, had reportedly deliberated over the rule change. But after hours of public clamoring, furious threats from the hardliners, the speaker announced he would leave the rule as it stands. Johnson wrote on the Twitter, since the beginning of the 118th Congress, the House rule allowing a motion to vacate from a single member has harmed this office and our House majority. Recently, many members have encouraged me to endorse a new rule to raise this threshold. While I understand the importance of that idea, any rule change requires a majority of the full House, which we do not have. We will continue to govern under the existing rules. So he's backing down. He will not back down. Crudy, I like your thought. I mean, depending on how this thing goes out. So apparently there could be, some votes on Saturday on these foreign aid packages.
420. And Mike Gallagher might stick around. Might not proactively resign on 419.
Who's resigning because he was getting swatted and death threats. The Republican. They chase away the semi-normal ones. And the guy was, Gallagher, he's a smart, competent guy. Period. But apparently it was too squish for the other folks. So what? Presumably, I can't imagine. I guess anything's possible, but he was swatted. He's like, I don't want to do this. I signed up for the death threats. My family didn't. My wife didn't. My kids didn't. Young kids. He's got a lot to look forward to. We're going to go spend some time with family and cash some of the defense checks. Dom, but this is the Republican Party.
My final thought of the day. When we were down at the RNC in Cleveland, one of my favorite memories was when Don King showed up and he was wearing like a blinged out rhinestone jean jacket, right? And he was getting interviewed by Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog. And they were standing outside a limousine and Triumph was interviewing Don King, and I was sitting there giggling because it was funny stuff. And Don King, he is the excellent subject. Hard to believe Don King, a supporter of Donald Trump, at least at that time.
If it works for Donald Trump, maybe Don King should run for president.
Well, here's the interesting part and why I bring it to your attention, Dom. Today, outside the courtroom in New York City, Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, was there in support, air quotes, of Donald Trump interviewing the 50 or so Trump, you know, supportive, Dom. What an army they've amassed there on the streets.
Right. We'll be wild.
They've got virtually dozens. Thank you all for listening to the greatest radio show ever, question mark. Some days, maybe tomorrow, when we've got Peter Barca. He's running for the Congress. Excited about that. We'll air the grievances. It's Friday. We air them on Friday. And perhaps more strong acronyms from the Republican Party. I can't wait how they're going to follow up the fast action response team.
Best words.
The FCC won't allow me to express all of my thoughts fully here, Dom. I'll save them for off the air. Have a great night.
Thanks, Rich.